Introduction. People always ask me, how did it all begin? Before I launch into that, though, I should introduce the team. I'm David Collins, and along with Michael Williams and Rob Eric, we're the executive producers of Queer Eye. We all work together with a gang of scruffy dogs in a little cottage-turned-office in Los Angeles. Our company's called Scout Productions. Yes, we're the guys who decided to reboot Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, which originally debuted more than 15 years ago. And we couldn't be happier that you love it. That seems like a safe assumption, since at least you're listening to this audiobook. If you watched the original series on Bravo, welcome back. If you're new to Queer Eye culture, let's take you back to the beginning. The year was 2001. Michael and I were living in Boston and producing independent movies together. One sunny afternoon in the fall, we were at an art gallery opening when we saw a woman berating her disheveled husband for his untucked shirt and messy hair. "Look at you! Why do you wear those socks? Why can't you dress more like them?" she said, pointing to a group of gay men drinking wine in the corner. She was so loud that everyone in the gallery heard her and winced. Without missing a beat, the guys rushed over to the poor husband's defense like knights in designer armor. "Ease up," they said to the woman. "Just give him a chance." They told the man to tuck in his shirt, fix his messy hair, and then said, "See, he's not that bad." In essence, they showed his wife that she married the right guy, but just needed a little help and some kindness. Inspiration struck at that moment. I looked at Michael and said, "Oh my God, did you see that? That's our TV show." "What show?" Michael asked. "Queer Eye, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy." 18 months later, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, starring Carson Kressley, Tom Felicia, Ted Allen, Kyan Douglas, and Jay Rodriguez, debuted on Bravo and became a huge breakout hit. A huge part of that success was thanks to another executive producer named Dave Metzler, the straight guy to my Queer Eye on the show. Rob hadn't joined the team yet. Fun fact, Rob actually auditioned to be the grooming expert on the original Queer Eye back in 2002. At the time, he was roommates with Carson Kressley, who ultimately got the part of the style expert. Personally, we think Rob landed an even better role when he signed on to be part of Scout Productions. What a lot of people don't know is that the word queer was considered way too risque for a TV show title back in the early 2000s. In fact, in the state of New York, of all places, it was even illegal to use queer in the name of a business. But we pushed for it anyway. We wanted to take back the word, which had become an insult, and make it our own. Since then, the LGBTQIA community has made incredible strides. We can get married in most states, we have rights in the workplace, and queer is now a term of empowerment. It's a whole new cultural landscape. What better time to bring back Queer Eye? But even more important, the show, at its core, was always about positivity and uniting people. With our country divided on so many issues, we imagine the modern version as even more of a bridge to bringing people together. I kept saying, people need a show right now that makes them feel good. We also knew that our reboot would have to be as impactful as the original show. After lots of development meetings and countless takeout containers, we figured out how to finesse the formula. First of all, we took the Fab Five, who helped only men in the New York metropolitan area on the old show, to places where they would meet all types of people, especially our heroes, with completely different values. We wanted them to roll into towns where they stood out and won over locals by being themselves. Let's just say that you don't see a group of gay men on many street corners in the rural South, even in the tiny town of Gay, Georgia. But in order to bring people together, you have to share your personal experiences. That's how we bond. On the original show, the guys didn't talk about coming out or discuss their boyfriends. Back then, lots of gay people didn't feel safe talking openly about their personal lives either. We like to say that the first Fab Five flew in like superheroes, saved the day, and flew out. But not anymore. This time around, we get to know the guys intimately. You learn that Bobby grew up as an evangelical Southern boy, while Tan, who's Middle Eastern, married a Mormon cowboy. We get to tell all of their fascinating stories as they share their victories and their vulnerabilities. The result is a much deeper shared experience than any superhero moment. Which brings us